So, hey, y'all, welcome to this week's podcast. Look who I've got here with me.
Hey, y'all.
I know y'all just love seeing Michael, and he loves just knowing y'all going to get to see him and get to hear him talk. He's as happy as a clam when he gets to meet up with y'all. And, gosh, didn't we have a good time this weekend?
Oh, we had a ball.
I went up to Macon, y'all. I was invited to Macon, Georgia, to be a judge in the Dance with the Stars competition there. And, you know, Michael is so good about following me around, and I feel guilty because, you know, I know, and he's doing all this just to be with me and support me. So when he gets something out of the deal, too, I'm always so, so happy. And Michael sat through like half of the Dancing with the Stars competition. And then somebody had arranged to get him tickets for...
for Greg Allman, the Allman Brothers. We also went to the Big House, but we went to the Greg Allman concert. And it was...
Now, what's the Big House? Tell everybody what the Big House is.
Okay, the Big House is a museum that they set up for the Allman Brothers. And it has a lot of old memorabilia and pictures and album covers and ticket stubs and guitars. I got to hold the gold Les Paul that Dwayne Allman played. Oh, the name of the guitar is Layla. And then they had actually had Dickie Beck's case, but it didn't have his guitar. And I think his name was Goldie, his guitar. But then they had a guitar that Greg played Melissa with, the original one. Anyhow, I had a lot of fun. We kind of had backstage passes. It was a small venue, 600 people.
Which is the best kind you can
really
go
is.
To.
And so we walked in, and then I called my buddy, and he said, "Oh, come around back." So we went around back, and as I walked up, I saw some guy. I wasn't sure who he was, but I knew he was a musician. I said, "Hey," I said, "What's your name?" He says, he was the lead singer in Blackberry Smoke, which is one of my favorite bands too. And so it was really neat to meet him. And he got he played with Greg. It was the first time they'd ever jammed. And I think years ago they used to do that a lot. A lot of different musicians would come in and play with.
And I think a lot of that took place in the Big House, because what I understand, the Allman Brothers, the band, they lived at that place.
Yeah, I know.
At one time in the Big House, right?
Yeah, and it was a sound studio, too.
Yeah. So I wonder, you know, I've heard stories about how dirt poor these boys were. In fact, a story that I heard this weekend was we got to go to H&H
right.
And have hot chicken.
Uh-huh.
And the little old lady, I understand, just sold that business. Is that correct?
She did, but I think what you're talking about was Miss Hattie's. Miss Hattie was they were, you know, up and coming musicians. They hadn't made it, so they would go to Miss Hattie's, and she had Southern food like similar to yours.
Yes, yes,
a lot like yours.
And there was six of these guys.
The whole band would go in there, and they would buy one or two plates.
One plate.
And they would share the food, and she noticed it. And most people that have restaurants like Paula, they like to see people eat, so they don't like to see them six people sharing one plate. So
yeah, she went over and asked them.
So she gave them the food, and
she went over and asked them, "Why are you boys just getting one plate?" And they said, "Well, we only have money for one plate." And her comment was, "I will feed you guys."
So she fed them, which was a pretty good investment, because she became, she would go on the road with them and cater all their food.
Yeah, they took Miss Hattie on the road with them.
So Miss Hattie's
she cooked all their meals for them.
So Miss Hattie's few free meals really paid off, I think, in the long run. Because
yes, they loved Miss Hattie.
Yeah.
And she's still living, but I understand she's just recently retired.
Uh-huh.
But so these boys were so broke, and that's a very nice house. I mean, it's a brick home.
Right.
So how could those boys have afforded
a house like that? The big house belonged to one of the band members' parents.
Oh, okay.
And it became party central pretty much. They wrote a lot of songs there. Uh-huh. Highway 41 is going right by there, and uh-huh. Ramblin' Man is. Has Highway 41 uh-huh. in it. He told us where several Statesboro Blues was written there. Uh-huh. But anyhow, two or three songs were written at that uh-huh. place and inspired
there. I hate that I was, you know, committed to stay till the end of Dancing with the Stars. So I was sorry I didn't get to see Greg. You know, I have not seen him since our wedding. He came uh-huh. to our wedding. And I hadn't seen him since then, so I hope he's doing well.
I think he is. He looked good. He sang good.
Good.
And
good.
I saw him. I've got a story. I was in when you were doing Elizabethtown, your movie, out in Pasadena. I had to come home, so I flew home. And when I left Pasadena, I'd met Cameron Crowe out there. Uh-huh. So I got on the plane, came back, and in Atlanta. I saw Greg Allman, so I started talking to Greg Allman. So we sat next to each other on the way from Atlanta to Savannah. Mm-hmm. And when I got off, I said, boy, how has my life changed? I just talked to Cameron Crowe. And then I was talking to Greg Allman. Actually, Cameron's had written the movie. What was the movie? Cameron's movie?
Elizabethtown?
No, about the...
Oh, about his...
Almost Famous.
Yeah.
Cameron had written a movie.
Yeah, because he, like a 14 or 15-year-old kid, he was actually writing for the magazine.
Yeah, Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones magazine.
He had written a movie, Almost Famous, and it was about the Allman Brothers.
Right,
band. I said so. That was pretty neat. That
so
I
you had a little connection there going
so
on.
So I think that's the time I've seen him since then.
Uh-huh. Well, I know Greg and I are the same age, and y'all are probably saying, well, what was Greg doing at y'all's wedding? Well, Greg actually lives here in Savannah, out in Richmond Hill. So that's why he was on our guest list.
When we were dating, Paul, and I've always been a huge Allman Brother fan. I don't know how many concerts I've gone to. So Paula says, would you like to go to a concert? I said, well, yeah, who? She said, the Allman Brothers. I said, well, that sounds good.
I mean,
good.
His eyes lit up, girls, you wouldn't believe.
I said, that sounds good. She said, well, I have to bake some cookies for Greg. I said, really? She said, yeah.
Backstage passes.
She said, I know Greg. So I said, oh, yeah. So I helped her. We were baking cookies. I said, if I told my buddies 10 years ago that I would be baking cookies for Greg Allman, they would have said, you are out of your mind. There's no way that you'd ever get close to him. Much less bake cookies.
I know it. Well, I was so glad that you had that experience.
Oh, I had more fun. It was really
an H&H, if you like hot chicken.
Oh, it was really good, yeah.
That you can get chicken two ways. You can get the hot chicken or you can get just mild, regular chicken. And naturally, I've always gotten the mild when we get to eat at one of those restaurants.
I think there was 15 people at our table.
Yeah.
And everybody got mild except me. I had to get hot.
Uh-huh.
And that scared me because everybody's getting mild. I said, this might be like some kind of nuclear
Michael
hot.
Took one bite of it, and I saw him pick up his napkin and say, shoo.
It was really
it's
warm.
Like they
it was
fry
good,
the chicken, y'all. And then I think they actually dunk it completely under in some kind of kick butt hot sauce.
It was good.
I mean, it
had a good
hot,
flavor to
y'all.
It. Some of it just.
Yeah, if you like to be hurt.
Some
it
of
was
it's
great.
Like, you know, it's hot, but it's like gasoline. You can't. Yeah. It has
and great
not,
macaroni
not a real
and
good
cheese.
Taste. But this had a real good, really good flavor and some heat, but yeah. Good flavor too.
A lot of heat, y'all. A lot of heat. And Friday night when we got there, we met Bubbles and Phil. we had made arrangements, you know, for us to meet up there at a certain time on Friday afternoon. And we got to go to the TikTok,
yeah,
which is a nice restaurant in Macon, y'all.
The TikTok room.
Yeah, the TikTok room. And it's fancy. It's the meals are a little bit fancy, on the fancy side. And that's where Richard, little Richard.
Right.
That was his hangout. He started out as a dishwasher
right
at
down
a
the
restaurant
street, yeah,
down the street. And after he'd get through washing all the dishes at this restaurant he worked at, he would come down there to the TikTok room, and he would jam along with others.
And I heard a story, which was a pretty neat story, which I'd never heard before, but Jimi Hendrix played with Little Richard.
Yeah.
And they separated. I don't know if he fired
Little Richard fired.
I think Little Richard may have fired him.
He fired Jimi Hendrix.
That may not have been a good move, but
yeah, he fired him.
He fired for being too flamboyant.
Yes. I'll tell you what I heard.
What?
That Little Richard told Jimmy. He said, "There's only room for one pretty boy in this band, and that's going to be me. So hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more."
Well, that, I don't know if that was real wise to fire Jimi Hendrix. That's like the...
Well, they both did all right. Little Richard
they did,
and
but
Jimi Hendrix.
Could
both
you imagine
did all
firing
right.
Jimi Hendrix?
No.
That'd be like...
How about the basketball coach that cut...
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Now, how do you think he feels?
Well, that's his claim to fame. I guarantee you. I'm sure he's thought that one over once or twice.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll maybe think of something else we did. But we had fun, didn't we?
I had a ball,
just a weekend of you and me. Of course, our room had, we had adjoining rooms with Sissy, with Bubbles and Phil. So we had a good time, but we'll be right back. The space that you live in really affects the way you feel. So my first recommendation is start by updating your window treatments with Smith & Noble. Smith & Noble's beautiful handcrafted blinds, drapes, shades, and shutters are custom-made just for you, and they offer different service options to fit your needs. You can work one-on-one, or you can work with one of their expert in-home designers, or you can even do it yourself. To get started today, contact Smith & Noble to get my special limited-time offer, 25% off on your window treatments, plus free design consultation. Create a space that you're gonna love. For details about my special offer, go to smithandnoble.com/Paula. That's smithandnoble.com/Paula. Or call 1-800-659-3300. That's 1-800-659-3300. We're back, y'all. And something I've been meaning to call to your attention. The most questions I get asked about you is Michael catching any shrimp? And it always confuses me. But you know, most people think that you're a shrimper.
Well, you know where that came from.
Where?
On your show, Michael Sullivan, my friend, went by in the shrimp boat.
Yeah.
As he went by the dock on the shrimp boat, you said, "There's Michael. Hey, Michael." And everybody thinks Michael is me.
Is that where it came?
So by you saying, "There goes Michael."
Michael.
Everybody thought
they
it was
thought
me.
I was talking about you.
Because I'm really the most important Michael around.
Okay. Now that we got that squared away.
So that's where that came from.
Let me tell all of you who are listening to this podcast what Michael does.
Other than manage you and keep everything.
I'm going to have to take off my shoes, and I might have to take off these breeches because it's getting deep, y'all. Yeah, besides all that, Michael is a harbor pilot. Michael gets on container ships here in the river, and he parks those ships. He parallel parks them. He'll turn them around in the river and parallel park them, and they unload the containers, and then he'll get back on it and take them out of their parking place, get them to the river, and then hand them over to a river pilot, which takes them into the ocean. And so Michael is not a shrimper. He is not a fisherman. He is a harbor pilot. Tell everybody what a typical day is for you. None of them are typical, though.
They're not. I work a week on and a week off, and I'm on call for that week. And we've got it situated where I'm first and second one day, first and second one day, and third one day. So we get plenty of rest. But I can still work a lot if there's a lot of ships.
Mm-hmm.
They call me pretty much an hour before the ship arrives at Fort Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have to get on. And I get on close proximity to the dock and then direct the tugboats and the ship. I do
a tugboat takes you to the ship.
Tugboat puts me on the ship.
Right, because they're in the middle of the river.
Right, right.
So he can't swim out to them. But so he gets on a tugboat. They take him to the ship, and he climbs up on the ship on those ladders, those rope ladders.
Right. And at that time, there's a river pilot on there, and a river pilot gets on at the sea buoy. And they also are called bar pilots. And the reason they were called bar pilots is because they get you over the sandbar. But anyhow, the river pilot, my younger brother's a river pilot, and Nick. And they bring the ship, they guide the ship up the river and without tug assistance. And then when I get aboard, I use the tug assistance to turn the ships around and dock them. So I'm talking to the tugs with a walkie-talkie. And then I talk to the helmsman and the quartermaster and give them commands on the ship. So I pretty much go out and turn the ship around and dock it. And I tell people I'm the valet parking for ships. But my son and my son-in-law are mates on the tugboats. So they're working their way up through the ranks also.
It used to be very incestuous back in the day, wasn't it? You about had to have a father.
Pretty much.
There.
And it's funny how things work out, because years ago, it wasn't a real lucrative job, and you'd go out on a boat and you'd rock around and wait till the ship comes in there, and you'd get seasick, and it wasn't a real glamorous job. So you had to sit out there because it wasn't a fast boat.
Mm-hmm.
So you would go out there and anchor and wait on the ship, and a lot of people didn't want the job. So
was this going on when you became a river pilot?
Before
this way before your time.
Yeah. So the daddy would, it was their business, so they had to grab their son and say, come on.
Uh-huh.
And they would start teaching their son real, real early. I mean, 15 years old or some younger than that.
Yeah.
They say in New Orleans, they'd take them at 8 years old. And so by the time that kid was 18 years old, he'd have 10 years experience. So it was called, back then it was a necessity. Now they got faster boats, they run in and out. It's become lucrative. It's a better paying job. It's everything's better. The ships are better. The docks are better. Everything, the tugboats and everything is a lot better than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way better job than it was. Now it's called nepotism. If you if you bring your son, is But they've got away from that a good little
bit. But now to become a river pilot, you are required a college degree.
Right, right. In a maritime college.
Yeah, yeah. And, so where if you dropped out of school, that was just fine. Education was not a top priority.
Right.
So things have really, really changed.
It really has. Things have changed a good bit. I had no family. My younger brother.
Yeah, you actually started.
And then Nick, my younger brother, he had no family because it's two different organizations. So Nick had no family in his business, and I had none in mine. So it can be done. It was rare at that time.
Right, right. Now you don't have to carry your own insurance, but aren't you like a free agent?
I'm an independent contractor, uh-huh. and but I use the ship's insurance. Uh-huh. If I had to insure everything on that ship, and the cranes and everything else, I'd have
You'd
to charge them.
You'd be insurance poor.
Well, I'd have to charge them such an exorbitant amount they wouldn't.
Right, they couldn't.
They'd
afford
come
to
up
hire
with another
you.
Plan.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm pretty much in charge, but I'm never really in charge. The captain's always in charge.
So, but sometimes you have to set the captain straight, don't you?
Well, no, not really. Most of them would prefer us to handle the ships because mm-hmm. A captain is they feel better and their expertise is in the ocean.
Right at sea.
They want to their idea of a close quarters. Is 2 miles. They want to stay 2 miles away from any other ship.
Isn't that crazy, y'all, that out in that ocean, if you got closer than 2 miles to another ship, you're too close?
Well, it's not too close, but they leave that much mm-hmm. for error. If some mm-hmm. they want to stay 2 miles away from anything.
Wow.
And which is smart. You don't want to get close.
What was the movie, Michael, that Tom Hanks starred in? It was the ship that the captain of the ship. They
the Somali pirates.
Yeah, the Somali pirates.
Oh yeah. Took. Yeah, I actually met that captain.
Well, I know that's what I was getting at. You actually worked with that captain that was abducted, right?
It was a Maersk Alabama, I think was the name of the ship.
Uh huh.
And I met him. I'd met him before the incident, then uh-huh. met him after.
Uh-huh.
He was on a different ship. And I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't blame him either. But all that stuff actually happened.
Oh, yeah.
The way it was portrayed in the movie.
Yeah, it's that's a scary part of the world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad that I don't have to worry about you going out into the ocean, that you're just... Your work is
me
contained
too.
Right there in
me
Savannah
too.
River.
I get the best of both worlds. I get my ship fixed and then get to come home.
Yeah, Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips, right. I met him.
Yes.
And the second ship I saw him on after the incident was a car carrier. A car uh-huh. carrier is kind of shaped like a cruise ship, so it's got
right.
all this, but it doesn't have the windows a cruise
right.
ship has.
Uh-huh.
But it's real high sides. And so that's why he went on that one, I think, because
uh-huh,
they'd have to climb a long way to get up to the top of that
Well,
one.
It was a horrible experience, the way it was portrayed in the movie. It was
But a
so
lot of
scary.
Ships come in and they have barbed wire, big old uh-huh. rolls of uh-huh. razor wire
uh-huh.
all around the ship. And they have lockdowns and everything where... Because of the pirates.
Yeah.
You'd think this day and age is not the era of the pirates,
yeah.
but
yeah,
they still exist, believe
wow.
it or not.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you popped in this morning, and you're full of so many interesting stories, and you've lived, even though you've lived a life very confined to one small area... you've got wonderful stories to tell.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's just after you hear them for like the thousandth time.
You're a lucky chick.
Listen, I'm a lucky chick, y'all. I'm a lucky chick. I nabbed the captain. Thanks, baby, for coming in. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Because folks love to hear you. They love to see what you've been up to. And I know you love them. Every time we get to go out to a book signing or something, Michael just loves being able to see all of y'all and chat with you.
I do.
Because he appears quiet, but he can be quite a chatterer. So thanks. So I'll see y'all next week.
Bye, y'all.
Love and best dishes, y'all. The space that you live in really affects the way you feel. So my first recommendation is start by updating your window treatments with Smith & Noble. Smith & Noble's beautiful handcrafted blinds, drapes, shades, and shutters are custom-made just for you, and they offer different service options to fit your needs. You can work one-on-one, or you can work with one of their expert in-home designers, or you can even do it yourself. To get started today, contact Smith & Noble to get my special limited-time offer, 25% off on your window treatments, plus free design consultation. Create a space that you're gonna love. For details about my special offer, go to smithandnoble.com/Paula. That's smithandnoble.com/Paula. Or call 1-800-659-3300. That's 1-800-659-3300.